Okay, so this episode is going to be about movie cliches.
Movie cliches?
Yeah. Why are you looking confused by that? Say it positive stuff. Why are you looking confused by that?
You just put cliches in your message.
I just put cliches?
Yeah.
So you thought we were going to do an episode of the Views from the Sofa movie podcast. The movie podcast. Linked with the Views from the Sofa blog, which is almost exclusively about movies, sometimes TV, and I would text you and say this month we're doing, or this week we're doing cliches, and you thought that meant general cliches.
Yes.
So
my quiz about Gale cliche from Man City is going to be absolute dog shit.
It would be anyway. I mean, now usually that'd be the point where we start the podcast as a great little punchline. But I've actually got a thing planned this week. I've actually got a thing planned for this week, yeah. That I was going to start off with, and you're going to go, Oh yeah, right, okay. Yeah. A couple of months back, your lovely wife put a link to Podcast Bingo.
Yes.
On Twitter. Now, I remembered this thinking, well, if we're looking at cliches and things that are annoying in movies, we should probably see how bad we are at Podcast Bingo.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be a nice little opening. Might only take 5 minutes. I'll go through it and we'll just, between us, work out, is it something we do and see how many there are.
Okay, great idea.
So it's, I think there's 20 here, I think it is. It's a 5x5 square, so it's 20 here. All right?
So have another go. Five by five square.
25. I can tell you a story there. You just embarrassed myself in maths twice now. Embarrassed myself in maths again today in front of a class of kids when another teacher asked me what 16 plus 16 was, and I panicked. Just didn't answer.
Radiator!
Just didn't answer. Just didn't. She was doing a magic trick. So she went, are you willing to have a magic trick? And I was like, let's show us. Yeah, hoping she'd lash out some cards. And she went, 1 plus 1. Two, and she kept going. It was like 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2, 4 plus 4, and she kept doing it until she went like 8 plus 8, 16, 16 plus 16, bollocks. And I just stopped, and she went, I just shrugged my shoulders. She went, 32. I went, 32, and she went, name a vegetable, and I went, broccoli, and she went, no, you meant to say carrot. It's like, okay. She was like, six teachers I've done this with, and you're the one that's got it wrong. And then looked, and then realised that she was in front of a group of my form, and went, it makes him unique. So talking of being unique, maths is not, I'm terrible, man, I'm terrible. So 25 different things here we can look at. Let's see how bad we are. Now the first one we're fine with. Okay, so this was on Twitter. It was put on here by Alex Sujong Laughlin, and he tagged this with, I made this because I'm an asshole. And yeah, to be honest. So, Squarespace ad. We don't have Squarespace ad. We don't even have any ads.
Not yet.
Rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
Yeah, we do that.
We say that.
We do that. This week on the pod.
Yep, we do that.
Do we?
Not necessarily on the pod, but you trail it on Twitter.
Okay, all right. Oh, that's a half then. Keyboard tapping in the background.
No,
we do have glasses tapping on the table though.
An occasional finger tapping on the screens, but that's true. Yeah. Okay.
Telling the producer to cut something or leave it in.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. We quite often say we'll cut that out. We'll cut that in the edit.
And then don't
because there's no edit.
There is no edit because there's no producer.
No.
Episodes longer than 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No producer named in the credits.
Don't do credits.
Am I allowed to say the F word in this? And then the other person going, oh God, yes. We don't have that because no. We're strictly a PG-13 podcast.
We've both said shit once already.
Yeah, well, now that's we're allowed. I think we're allowed at least 5 of those. One time we have got to look up the PG-13 rules.
Okay.
We'll do that. Not today. A podcast about the hidden forces of TKTK. Do you know what that is?
No.
So we're clearly not doing that. Tonally inappropriate music. I'm quite happy with that.
Lift music. Yeah, it's nice.
I like our theme tune.
It's good.
See you next time, even though no one is seeing anyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do that.
Yeah.
Relatable narration.
Yeah, kind of. We talk about not being able to do maths in front of a class of kids and stuff, don't we? Yeah.
Have you heard of Reply All? Now, I actually have heard of Reply All. I really like that podcast, but I don't get what that just... Oh. I don't know what that is. It just says, have you heard of Reply All?
I didn't know it's a podcast.
No, you meant
I've heard of Reply All.
You meant the email function. It's a really good podcast. 8-count music post after revealing an interesting fact or thought.
No.
I have no clue. I don't know.
No, we don't edit.
No, we don't. A physical description of only women / people of colour.
Well, not knowingly.
No. An explanatory comma. How would that be in a podcast?
Are you reading the right thing?
Yeah.
You're not reading the blog.
It literally says podcast
blog bingo.
Podcast bingo.
Okay.
Just two friends talking about pop culture. Yep. Let's move quickly off of that one. Thanks for coming on the show. Glad to be here. That ain't us.
You never thank me.
I never. No, I. If anything, it's actively the opposite. Host asks question and answers self with anecdote about my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave the last one. I went there with my producer, TKTK.
No.
What is this TKTK? Am I being an idiot?
I'll Google it while you...
Plucky banjo music.
It's not banjo really.
Music. I don't know what our music... It's got drums in.
Yeah.
What's
bass.
Bass?
Bass. It's all about...
This is show title. We do that. I do that.
Yeah.
All Blue Apron ads have been replaced by HelloFresh ads. We don't have ads. And then a cute blooper at the end of the episode after the credits. Sometimes I put in something a little bit after the credits.
Yes, sometimes you do. Bonus content.
The last one here is 10 minutes of wind-up before the conversation actually starts.
We'd never do that.
That would be absolutely terrible. Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 2, the movie cliche episode of the Views from the Sofa, the movie podcast. I messed that one up, didn't
you
I?
You did, yeah.
I
really
panicked
did.
Halfway through.
Yeah, it's because you wrote S3 and you couldn't remember what the S stood for.
No, I just forgot what I was saying. Okay, so again, we don't edit. So welcome to the Views from the Sofa, the movie podcast. It's Season 3, we're on the second episode of the year and we're straight into what we call a proper episode.
Yep.
I did air quotes, but no one can see it.
You did.
So we always start whenever we do the movie podcast with what have you been watching? So what have you been watching since the last time we recorded one of these? So do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Go on then, Dave. What have you been watching?
Not a fat lot.
Okay, great.
So looking back through my trusty IMDb list, I've only been to the cinema once since we last did a pod.
Okay.
And that was to see Mary Poppins Returns.
All right, okay, so big film.
Yep, big film. Was looking forward to it, got pretty good reviews.
Are you a fan of the original Mary Poppins?
I am. I enjoy the original Mary Poppins. We watched it over Christmas, accidentally. It wasn't with the intent of going to watch this film.
Okay, fair enough. And you accidentally watched it.
Accidentally watched Mary Poppins. What do you do? Oh, you sort of stick it on.
Can you watch Mary Poppins? Oh, man, damn it. Okay.
You just stick it on. It's always on TV over Christmas.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this one was, we really, really enjoyed it. Great film.
Match the original?
Yes, it's the same film as the original.
Oh, really?
Just slightly tweaked.
Yeah, okay.
So the plot is, it's following the children from the first film.
Yes.
But they're all grown up.
Yeah.
And it's mainly based around George Jr., the little boy.
Yeah.
And his kids. And he's basically getting kicked out of their family home that they were brought up in because he's bankrupt.
So Mary Poppins is coming to lend him some money?
Mary Poppins is coming to sort out his life, basically. Oh, so nice. She looks after the kids while he searches for some paperwork through the family home. pretty much is the gist of it. And then by her keeping the kids out of the way...
He can do his errands.
He can do his errands, yeah.
I mean...
Admin.
Unbelievable. So what he could have done is just hired a childminder. I suppose he's got no money.
He did, yeah. But he didn't have to hire her because he didn't have to pay her.
Because she just appears.
She just appears.
How is Emily Blunt any good as Mary Poppins?
Yeah, she is, yeah. She plays the same character as Julie Andrews. She's not quite... She's a little bit more... sticky. She's a little bit more sort of quite...
A bit sharp.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But at the same time, she seems to have more of a... She seems to go from extremes more. Julie Andrews is quite sort of straight with it all the way through, whereas Emily Blunt is a bit more... she'll be quite stern and then have a really little cheeky grin and a wink and stuff.
Because Julie Andrews played a harsh but fair nanny, didn't she?
Yeah.
And there was a good thing where everything was going crazy around her, but she just played it like, well, this is perfectly normal. Of course it is.
Well, I mean, she does, Emily Blunt does do that as well, but she's just a little bit more extreme in the things. I think she did a really good job of it. Her voice isn't to the same standard as Julie Andrews, but that's
to
be expected, I guess, from her, from it.
Yeah.
We were sucked in, loved it. All the characters were there, nice little Dick Van Dyke cameo. And
the guy who's essentially playing Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a bit annoying. Cotton
window cleaner.
He was a bit annoying, that guy, but it was fine. You could get past it. It was great.
Hugh Laurie?
Hugh
Grant?
Yeah, that's it, Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant's in it?
Yeah. I think it's Hugh Grant.
It's definitely not Hugh Grant.
Is it not Hugh Grant?
Playing which character?
The baddie. It's not Hugh Grant.
You're thinking Paddington.
It's Colin Firth.
You're thinking Paddington 2. Oh, it's Colin Firth in it?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. They're essentially
the other one.
The other one, yeah. They're not quite Hugh Grant guy, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks. but no, it was awesome. Really enjoyed it. Gave it a 9. That was a really solid start to the year. Yeah,
amazing.
We both came out really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, and how you should feel coming out of Mary Poppins.
Exactly. Yeah, and there's definitely going to be another one as well. They're definitely going to carry this on, and it wouldn't surprise me if they did it with a different Mary Poppins each time.
See, that would be the way forward. Yeah. That would be a great way forward, actually.
Yeah, because I think there were 5 books that. The author wrote about Mary Poppins, so this is the second one, and there's...
Oh, so they're actually following the books?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
But they're books, not musicals, so the songs are all originals.
Yeah.
The books and the stories are already written.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is why it feels like such a natural carry-on, and the characters are all sort of understandable.
I see.
So, yeah, it was good. Really good. I'd recommend that.
Okay, I'll make sure that's on my list of stuff to see then.
Yeah.
All right, makes sense. Okay, did you see anything else? I know you did.
Not at the cinema. We watched a couple of TV films.
That's unusual for you.
Yeah, well, Christmas, we had time off. So, and there was nothing at the cinema that we wanted to watch.
Fair enough then. So what did you see TV-wise?
Training Day.
Oh,
Denzel.
Amazing movie.
Good film.
Yeah.
Good film. I didn't remember it. It was good. I vaguely remembered parts of it. I remembered how it ended, but I didn't remember the bulk of the film. So introduced the wife to it. She'd never seen it before.
What she think?
She good. Said it was good.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah.
It's. We're going to do a Denzel pod this year.
Okay.
At some point. Because we both think he's amazing.
Yeah.
And it just gives me an excuse to watch loads of Denzel Washington films.
That's fair.
And one of them we'll be rewatching is Training Day.
Yeah.
And it's just his performance in that's incredible.
Yeah.
It's just. He's so, like, dark and terrifying.
Yeah.
But also really cool.
And so young.
Oh yeah. It's one of those films where you think, yeah, Training Day did that like within like the last 10 years. It's like, no, it's not. No. It's ages ago, Training Day. That was a film I watched when I was far too young to be watching Training Day. Sure.
Yeah, it was like mid-90s Training Day.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm certain it's 2000s. It's gotta be.
Is it?
It's gotta be. I watched a film that was 1999 with Denzel in, which I'll talk about.
2001.
Okay. Oh, so 2 years after the one I watched.
Okay.
So the film I watched with Denzel in, then, if we're going to go on a little Denzel tangent, is I watched The Bone Collector.
Yep.
With
him
and Angelina Jolie.
Yep.
Which, like, if Denzel Washington and Angelina Jolie made a movie now, that would be huge.
Yeah.
And this was like it's a little bit better than a generic 90s thriller.
Yeah.
You know, it is just essentially a serial killer and they're trying to catch who it is, but Denzel Washington's bedbound and telling Angelina Jolie what to do.
It's a great
film.
It's
like a very serious Impractical Jokers.
So, I love Bone Collector. That's a great answer.
It is really good. Ages. Apart from the end, there's a couple of dodgy things in there. Mm. So they try and force a bit of a Jolie-Washington relationship when there's no need for it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those where when you do discover who the killer is, mm-hmm. which I did a really cool thing where I didn't think I'd remember the killer, but I kind of went to Kaz, I think I've remembered who it is, and wrote it in the notes on my phone. So when it did appear, I could go, ha-ha, I remembered. And I have remembered who it was. The killer kind of comes out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't make any sense. It's one of those things where, why is he leaving clues? Like, why is he leaving clues? It doesn't make sense. It's one of those where, why is he leaving clues? Because I know why, because there'd be no film otherwise. But why? If you want to get away with this, don't leave clues, because otherwise they don't know who you are.
Yeah, true. They like the challenge, don't they, serial killers?
Yeah, that's it. That's yeah. it. They're unhinged. Let's not try and understand them. Did you see something else?
The last one I saw was one of the ones that you recommended last year was They Will Not Grow Old, or Shall Not Grow Old.
Oh, They Shall Not Grow Old. Yeah, yep. What did you think of that?
Good. It's good.
Just good.
It was just good. It was a really interesting watch.
Yeah.
And it's thought-provoking, makes you realize, appreciate how lucky we are living where in the time we do now, even with Trump and Brexit and all that crap.
Political, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, it was a really well-put-together piece of film. And
yeah.
it, as you said, it does really bring it home, seeing it in colour and seeing the people, seeing them actually as humans and
yeah.
relatable.
Yeah,
so.
It makes it feel like it was 10 years ago rather yeah. than 100 years ago, which yeah. I think is the incredible part of that. So, yeah, if you can see that, definitely do.
Yeah.
So,
what the hell have you been watching?
I've started watching my best of last year. So the top 10 films that I didn't get to see last year is what I've started watching. And the first one I watched was called Won't You Be My Neighbour?
Right.
Which was on loads of top 10 lists, and I'd never heard of it.
Nope.
And it's because it's the film about Mr. Rogers. Now, do you know who Mr. Rogers is?
No.
Mr. Rogers is a children's... he had his own TV show in America, and it was this incredible cultural, like, every kid in America has seen it. Mr. Rogers became the...
Sesame Street type
thing. It's like, yeah, it's exactly okay. like that. It's on par with Sesame Street. And it's got puppets in it, and he teaches life lessons as part of his show. And... it's
Sesame Street.
Yeah, pretty much, except the puppets are hand puppets and he does all the voices and everything, and it's just, it's very insular. Doesn't have the budget. Yeah, it is. Doesn't have the budget that Sesame Street clearly did. This was on public access TV,
right?
And it's a documentary, and it's just about Mr. Rogers and the TV show he created. And I was kind of aware who Mr. Rogers was through other mediums. So at some point Family Guy take the mick out of him, at some point Simpsons take the mick out of him. He's been referenced on other TV shows enough for me to kind of get an idea who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never watched any of the episodes or anything like that.
Okay.
And this was really interesting. Really interesting. And it was great to watch a TV film about a presenter and a character that is so nice and caring and positive and has such a great impact without there being a darker edge to it. There was a little bit about depression, but there was no kind of, and then this happened, and is this a bit weird, or was he like this, or is this the reason for it? It was just that this guy really wanted to help kids out and was, you know, really positive. It was just a really positive movie about this guy, Fred Rogers.
So that's why we haven't heard of it then. That's why it wasn't very successful, because there was no story.
Yeah, well, the story's
nice
there.
Nice guy does nice things.
The story's there, because, I mean, he was... The TV show he created was like, groundbreaking. You know, the first episode, or the first week at least, one of the episodes touched upon immigration and building up walls and barriers. And this is for kids from the age of, like, 5 to 10.
Okay.
You know, the puppet in it, Mr. King, doesn't want anyone from any other country coming in. He only wants his own people. You know, it's things like that. They touch upon divorce at one point. They touch upon suicide. When Robert Kennedy's assassinated, they do a week on assassination and what that word means and things like that. So it was like a proper deep, you know, when...
Sounds all right. Barrel of laughs.
Yeah. When Mr. Rogers came off TV and then 9/11 happened, and they asked him to go back on TV to do a like speech about it for the adults and the kids. So they... Seriously, this is how much this guy has an impact on America. Now, the reason we haven't heard about it is because he just wasn't shown in this country.
So we don't know about it, but it is, it's so interesting.
Can you imagine? I just had likening it to Sesame Street and Sooty. Can you imagine if Matthew Corbett came on TV after 9/11 and explained to all the children and the adults in Britain?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I think it's like our equivalent, I guess.
Jeffrey from Rainbow.
No, it wouldn't be our equivalent. It might be our equivalent. I don't know. I don't know what our equivalent would be. We haven't got anyone that still has that impact. Ant and Dec.
John on his from Rosie and Jim.
How do you remember the name of the bloke on Rosie and Jim?
The theme tune, isn't it? Isn't it John? Might be John.
Might be John. Okay. I'll tell you what, a question came up on a quiz the other day.
I wouldn't want Ant and Dec telling me about 9/11
no,
either.
No, I wouldn't, yeah. I'm happy with Hugh Edwards doing it.
Yeah.
Happy with Hugh Edwards doing it. But this, it's really interesting. I think it's one of those that if I knew who Mr. Rogers was and he was part of my childhood, it'd be like a 5-star movie. It'd be so interesting.
Right.
But because I have no idea who he is, it is still really interesting and well worth watching. But it's called Won't You Be My Neighbour, is what it's called.
Great.
Which annoys me as well, because I kept putting Will You Be My Neighbour on the review and I had to go back through and change them all. So I gave that 4 stars.
Okay, good.
Incidentally, I gave Bone Collector 3.5 stars.
Ooh.
Let you know. I then watched a black and white Polish film.
Excellent.
Oh, didn't know it was black and white and Polish till you put it on.
Great.
And then double checked it was the right movie. It was. It's called Cold War.
And which of your followers or friends screwed you over with that one?
It was on loads of lists, this movie. And
conspiracy.
It's decent. It's decent enough. It's about a couple who meet up at a dance school, and then what you do is you follow their... Pardon?
I'm out already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then what happens is you follow their lives, like in 5-year intervals, when they keep breaking up and then getting back together again. And then the only time the story picks up is when the two of them are in the same location and meeting up again. So it's kind of like... The only thing I could compare it to... Did you ever watch One Day?
No.
Where it was a film following the same day through the life of a couple. It was only one day, so it'd be like January 23rd in 1999, then January 23rd in 2000.
Okay, that's a good
idea.
That
was a good idea. And it was a decent movie. This is similar to that, where it only picks up the lives of these people when the two of them are in the same location. And it's clever, and it's done very, very well. And it doesn't feed the audience too much. So you kind of got to figure out where their lives are from what they're saying to each other and what's happening. And things like that. So it's got some really interesting things in it. Those two are the two actors who I'm not going to be able to remember or pronounce their names are really, really good in it, and you believe they're a couple. But it's also, they do some really interesting things. The problem is they do some really interesting things in the points that they've skipped.
Okay.
So at one point, one of them goes to prison, and you see him in the prison. He's got his head shaved and his fingers have been broken. He plays piano. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And you kind of want to go, but that'd be a good movie to watch. But but you don't get to see that bit, you know, and then it's things like that. You're kind of like, it's an hour and a half, and it's one of those rare ones where I went, I could probably do with about 20 more minutes where you fill in some of these gaps.
Yeah.
Just a few of them to make this a bit better. Okay. But
would it be better if it wasn't black and white and Polish?
No, it's one of those things, as long as you're in the mood for it, you forget. You forget it's black and white, you forget it's Polish. You forget the subtitles, you forget you're watching it. It's, you know, I'm happy with that as long as I'm in the mood to sit and watch a black and white Polish movie. So, I mean, it's set in Poland, or Poland's a big part of it. So I hope it's Polish. I mean, at Views from Sofa, it might be Russian or German or something, but they're definitely Polish characters. Pretty certain they're speaking Polish. It's called
Friends of the World, aren't we?
Oh my God. And then the best film, Won't You Be My Neighbour, was decent. The best film I think I probably watched so far is Love, Simon. Did you watch this one? It was at the cinema last year.
No, we thought about it, but didn't really appeal.
It's really good.
Is it?
It's really, really good.
Good reviews.
It was a bit of a surprise one, really. So it's about a kid who is a closet homosexual. Someone puts... There's a website called Craig Secrets, okay, where people are like... It sounds awful. So if someone finds out something about you at high school, they put it on this website.
Anonymously. Yeah.
Awful website. Yeah. They definitely exist, but awful website. And someone puts on Craig's Secrets, calls themselves Blue, and pretty much admits, I'm gay, but you won't know who I am. And it has an email address on the bottom. So Simon starts to email him saying, I'm also gay,
and they start to have a relationship through email.
Okay.
And then somebody finds out about this, starts to blackmail Simon, saying, if you don't do as I want you to, I'm going to out you to the whole school.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just about him trying to find out who Blue is, because he knows it's someone at his school, while also trying to stop this other kid outing him.
Okay.
It's like really, really well written. It's not, I wouldn't say it's a comedy. I wouldn't say it's trying to be a comedy, because it's not a joke every scene.
Yeah.
But when it has got jokes in, they're really brilliant. They're okay. Really funny, not obvious. And it just plays with the idea of like kids at high school and all those kind of cliches and things like that, and plays with the even like the homosexual cliches and all the rest of that stuff really, really well.
Yeah.
It's just very well written. And then the story's great and kind of goes the way you expect, goes some ways you expect it and then other ways you don't, and you really feel for the characters. It's well worth watching. I gave it 4 stars in the end. The ending's a bit sappy, but that's just because I'm a heartless cold man. And Kaz loved it. So I recommend so far from what I've seen from the best of last year.
So far.
You're going to do that every time, are you? Won't You Be My Neighbour and Love, Simon. And if you can see Cold War in your local black and white Polish cinema, then feel free.
Just ask my relatives.
Fill your boots. Yeah, just... inside within inside joke, that one. Jesus. So talking of cliches, watching Love, Simon, there is... it plays with the cliches of high school student. It also plays with... It also, whether it's trying to or not, it does inadvertently have some terrible, terrible cliches in it.
Yeah.
Okay. It is predominantly set in a high school, and it has the typical high school... cliches in it.
Yeah.
So the first high school cliche it has is the idea of that one teacher who's just trying to be super friendly with all the kids and trying to be down with the kids and is failing really badly. They don't exist. Those teachers do not exist.
Yeah.
At all. It's cringy to watch the teachers that are trying to be like, oh, you know, using the slang the kids use and, you know, trying to be super, super friendly and best friends with the kids. You know, I've worked in teaching for 10 years and I've never, ever seen anyone like that. Because why would you want to be? It gets shut down so quick from either the kids or people above that. That annoys me. Yeah. And the other cliche they had was that one teacher who loses it and has a rant where they just kind of say what they feel.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about me and no one's going to find me because what I'm saying is real. And you're watching it going, huh. You're getting fired. You are getting fired. You couldn't say that.
No.
And it just, you know, there are a couple of cliches from like the high school thing, the school idea of it really. And I just thought...
Jocks as well, I imagine, were in there.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
gang of jocks.
This did a good job of not being so bad with that. I mean, what I do realise is, and I said this to Kaz at the time, I'm so glad I didn't go to an American high school.
Yeah.
There's no film I've ever watched where I thought an American high school looks like a nice place to be.
No.
It just looks awful. Looks terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't it just
look like...
Yeah,
I can't think of anything either.
No, it's never where I'm thinking, well, that looks, you know, they look like really great. Our secondary schools look tame in comparison to a high school where you've got definite cliques, you've got definite, you fit into this box or else.
Yeah.
And just the idea of little square lockers that you can get shoved into. At some point, I'd definitely have been shoved into a locker. Because I wasn't a jock.
Yeah.
I was edging towards nerd or geek, I think.
Yeah.
So, you agreed with that far too quickly. So, we were thinking of cliches, really. And I said to you, there's three key genres that have definitive cliches. And I just thought we'd call them out. And what we'd do is we'd have a look at these cliches and see whether they're ones we agree with, ones we like, or ones we're absolutely sick and tired of.
Okay.
So I thought we'd start with the kind of most obvious one, which is the horror genre.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many cliches within the horror genre, it gets ridiculous.
Yeah.
So what have you started with? What's your first horror cliche that you can think of?
Pretty much the whole genre of horror is a cliche, isn't it, really? Like, there's so few... horror films out that don't follow every single one of them. So you like, don't go there.
they go there.
Yeah, yeah. That's the first one I've put down on my list is poor decisions.
Yeah.
Just terrible, terrible decisions.
Yeah. Whatever you do, don't go to that house. Go to that house. Yeah.
But have you ever had it where you think, like, it's almost a test of your own bravery. Like, have you ever done that thing where you watch a character underwater and then you think, I'm going to hold my breath when they hold their breath?
All the time. I used to swim a lot. Yeah. All the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Little Mermaid was a challenge. But
but with Mermaid, Ben, it doesn't count.
But with the poor decisions, it's like things like when like a light flickers and you think you see someone in the background.
Yeah.
And you think, well, I'd run. That'd be it for me. Why would I stick around? If I think I see a figure in the back, just run away. Yeah. Don't stick around to see. And then it flicks back on again and they're just like, you know, 6 feet closer.
Yeah.
At that point, I'm definitely running. Why would I stick around?
Yeah.
And it's the idea of...
Sort out your lights as well.
Oh, yeah, well, without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone lives in really poor electricity.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, just all just of these...
Just ask Alexa to turn the lights back on.
That's it. Modern technology kills a horror film, doesn't it?
It does.
Because the one I've put right at the bottom is Call the Cops. Call the police.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and most of these, well my phone line's dead. Well, use your mobile. How's your phone line? Just use the mobile.
That's fine. The thing is, you know, as soon as they call the police will turn up and then they'll get killed. Because they won't believe you. And then they'll get killed by whoever is trying to kill you or whatever is trying to kill you.
Yeah, there's a certain degree to that. There's a certain edge of that. I mean, the most recent Halloween film did exactly...
Really?
Exactly that. The cops were very much dead all over for that one. So it was just left up to the females to take care of themselves. Which is the other thing as well. Another movie cliche, the female hero. You know, the damsel in distress, the scream queen.
Do you get the damsel in distress, yeah.
That's it, you know, and some of them are fantastic. You know, Jamie Lee Curtis in the Halloween movies is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, but it is, again, it's that movie cliche.
But there's sort of, yeah, there's a couple of particularly female characters in horror films. There's the absurdly attractive one
yep.
that just sort of plays dumb all the way through yep. and then... tends to survive until quite near the end.
Yeah.
But then dies.
Usually because she thinks that someone's trying to hit... the killer's trying to hit on her.
Yeah.
So she gets a little bit seductive with it and then realises too late, oh my God, I'm not going to be having sex with this person. And then dies.
That's it.
Yeah, classic.
And then you get the sort of... It's always the geeky, nerdy one that is the heroine.
Or at least survives it. The geeky, nerdy one will survive it. What you'll get is the heroine will be the average kid.
Yeah.
The every kid. The one that's, yeah, well, I'm not really a geek, but I'm not really a cheerleader, but everyone likes me.
Yeah.
You know, that person.
Yeah.
Really good at running, falls down a lot. That's the person.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Because the other one I put here is dead, not dead. Oh, it's that other thing of if you've shot, stabbed and blown up Michael Myers and he's laid on the floor, don't check. Why are you checking? No. Then you run more.
Just assume he's dead. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I'm just gonna check his pulse. Why? It's, you know, it's stuff like that. And then the newest one's his sequel bait. I didn't realise I'm gonna get a little bit angry this episode. You know, it's gonna get frustrated. And sequel bait, just next time. You know, which is probably
the last scene of him waking up or like just a shadow or something. Yeah.
Or worse, when there wasn't planned sequel, so they've got to find a way to randomly bring him back.
Okay.
So because Jason's dead in every single one of the Friday the 13th movies. Michael Myers technically... Well, no, Michael Myers disappears at the end of the first Halloween, so that kind of makes sense. You know, Freddy Krueger is dispatched every single Nightmare on Elm Street until he keeps being brought back, finding ways to bring him back as well. So that's some of the horror cliches.
Mm.
Do you think of any others?
It's always really crappy weather. In horror films.
It really is.
It really is
really crappy weather.
It's never summer.
No one dies in the summer, do they?
No.
That's true. It's always a storm.
Yeah. Or night time. If it is summer, it's always dark.
Yeah, no one kills in the day.
Yeah.
No one kills in the
day. It's never a nice day.
That's true. What was the film where they did start doing, where it was even they could even start attacking you in the daytime as well? Was it Paranormal Activity? Paranormal Activity it was known for it all happening at night. So there was a nice thing when you watched... Have you seen the Paranormal Activity movies?
Yes, I've seen the first one.
So the first one, it always happened when they went to bed, which was fine, because then what happened is whenever they were doing the things during the day, you could feel yourself physically relax, because you went, okay, nothing scary is happening now, they're building to the next evening. Yeah. And I think the second one did the same. And the third one was like, oh, this is just scary all the time.
Yeah.
And there was noticeably like, oh God, okay. All right, oh God, but it's daytime, this is unfair, this is when it's meant to be okay. That's using the cliches the opposite. And I quite like that.
Yeah.
When you play with the cliche and go, yeah, we were aware.
Yeah.
When I said about this to Kaz, Kaz went, well, you've got to talk about the Scream rules, which I think we have. Yeah. We've spoken about on the podcast before, the Scream rules and things like that. You know, the idea of don't say I'll be right back.
Yeah.
You know, the killer's always someone you know, and all the rest of those things, particularly with Scream and stuff like that. So, you know, there's when they're aware of the cliches, it can work quite well.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, then. So I think the next one I looked at for you, because I gave you three lists, didn't I, and said, right, these are the ones we're going to look at the cliches for.
Yeah.
Next one was rom-coms, which I think me and you could talk about at length.
So now this is the one I struggled with.
Did you?
Yeah. Genuinely, I struggle with the rom-com cliches. I don't know whether that's because I don't watch enough rom-coms or whether it's just because I couldn't think of any, but I'm going to go quiet for about 30 seconds.
What, and just let me...
Just
let me embarrass myself, everybody.
I'll talk away from a distance.
Well, what I put was, the first one was, every single person in it's hot, except maybe not the bloke.
Oh, yeah.
So, I was just going to keep going and ignore the fact you were over getting drinks. So, just everyone's ridiculously attractive, but the bloke...
Half the ones with Jack Black in it.
Exactly, but the main bloke doesn't have to be attractive. That's it, which is a little bit... And if the main... If the female lead is not attractive, that's the story.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Well, okay.
Can you think of any, examples where the female lead is not your typical, traditionally attractive person?
Typically, all actors and actresses are all attractive, or generally attractive, unless they're brought in to be the non-attractive person. And yeah.
I think, you know, so if you had to name some actresses that you'd say were not the typically attractive, someone like Melissa McCarthy from Ghostbusters and Bridesmaids.
And Jack Black on the flip of that, I suppose.
It is, that's what it is, you know. But, you know, Melissa, I'm not aware of anywhere she is the lead of the rom-com. Or if she is, I'm pretty certain it will be based on the fact that she's not the traditionally attractive person. Amy Schumer's done it recently, hasn't he, with I Feel Pretty. Is it that film?
Yeah.
Which got, on first look, got absolutely... Yeah, and then she believes that she's really, really attractive. But the problem with that is people going, well, you are attractive.
Yeah,
so where's the joke here? Where's the...
Well, that's it. It's a really crappy sort of cliche in itself, isn't it? That's it's just a horrible thing to
say. It's
different for everyone, and it's
it
doesn't make any sense. And it's the same as, like, I don't know, in the American Pie films, when you had Shermanator and things like that, and the whole joke was that he's unattractive and unappealing and stuff, and it's just like, I don't like that. I don't know whether it's just the times now and everyone's a bit more sensitive to it, but
they think they definitely are more sensitive to it. I think we are.
Yeah,
I don't think you get the traditional rom-coms anymore like you used to.
No.
I don't think they do as well if they get released.
True.
So the other one I had here is the couple will get together and then there will be the mid-movie breakup.
Yep. They'll have a rough patch
where they just wonder how on earth are they going to live without each other. They'll be fine. And then I've put the airport finale does not exclusively have to be an airport.
Okay.
Just the moment where one of them is racing against time to make sure the other accepts them. Usually an airport, because it's one of those flights that clearly, I mean, you can't phone them afterwards and go, yeah, you probably shouldn't have gone. I actually do really like you.
Yeah.
Has to be at the airport.
You didn't get on the plane.
which is weird. I've got past the gate somehow. Just airport finales don't work.
No.
They don't work because how expensive are airport tickets? You better be really, really connected to that.
That's true.
To that relationship.
Yeah, if I spent £300 on something, no relationship is worth more than £300, Ben. You're quite right.
I did not say that. Both our wives listen to this podcast. I did not say that.
But like, people go, well, I mean, what you go, like, when the guy goes, I'm moving my whole life, I'm going to move to, he lives in one side of America, he lives in Miami, he's going to go move to Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which I assume is the other side. Geography's difficult. It's like maths. And
I'm glad you gave the state though. That was important.
Yeah, well, as opposed to
Portland.
Chicago. Chicago State. I'm struggling. And like, he's moving his whole life. And you've got to assume, well, he's got himself a new house and a job. Yep. He's probably moved out of his last place and sold it. Probably quit his job. So now this lass is going to show up and go, I'll stay. And he's going to go, yeah, all right then.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a tough situation to start to rekindle a relationship where he goes, but I'm moving in.
Very true.
Because I've got nowhere to live.
Very true.
And you're paying for everything because I've got no job. And I've lost the deposit on the house because there's no way they're going to be happy I ain't moving in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mental. Absolutely mental.
That's fair.
And how many rom-coms ruin someone else's wedding?
Yeah. That seems okay. You never think of the other person.
Never.
No.
Never.
No,
one thing
true.
I read, one thing I really liked was a guy put on, it was a guy on Twitter, I can't remember who it was now, and I'll be absolutely massively paraphrasing, but he said, I am a decent mid-level executive at a city job who has a very nice house, a very nice life, and a brand new fiance. So clearly I'm worried that she's going to go home and be swept off her feet by the layabout hunk from her childhood. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I always feel kind of sorry for the other bloke.
Yeah.
The one that did nothing.
Or the other girl.
Or the other girl, that's true. Yeah. But the one that just did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
But I think it's more other bloke than other girl. I think usually they paint the other girl as being a little bit off. Where the other bloke, usually they paint the other bloke as just being a bit boring. A bit boring and never quite as attractive as the one that has just...
Is that because rom-coms generally stereotypically aimed at women?
I think so.
So that's fair.
So what you don't want is you don't want the bloke who has ditched the, you know, ditched the you know, decent girl for the new girl.
Yeah.
But you have no issue with the, well, he's a bit boring, isn't he? He's a bit boring, but he's got money, so he'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
I always feel quite sorry for those person.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Usually, Colin Firth.
Nowadays, yeah. Well, nowadays he plays the richer, older gentleman, I suppose.
Yeah, nowadays he's king. Nowadays he's a spy.
Yeah.
Nowadays he's kicking ass.
Yeah.
Okay, that's rom-coms covered. Any more rom-com cliches?
No. I think rom-coms, it's self-explanatory.
I think so. Which leads us to one that I was quite excited about talking about, because the horror cliches wind me up.
Mm-hmm.
The rom-com cliches wind me up.
Yeah.
But I love the action hero ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I love them.
Why? Why do you love them?
Because action hero cliches are designed for one purpose and one purpose only, to make the hero look cool.
Yeah. That's right.
The second cliche I wrote on my list is the greatest action cliche of them all, which is cool guys do not look at explosions.
Just walk off.
They just walk away from explosion. Yep. Why would you?
You know what you've done. You don't need to see it.
Man on Fire is my favourite for that. When Denzel Washington blows up the car and just walks away.
Mm.
Not bothered, just walks away. There's so many examples.
The Joker,
yeah.
He's legend.
From the school. There's not the school, the hospital. I think there's actually a YouTube song which is Cool Guys Don't Look at Explosions, where they just link loads and loads and loads and loads of them together, because it is such a cliche.
Well, that's it. The cliches are there. They help you root for the goodie, don't they? And they
I think, is it the other guys where they try it and the explosion blows them forward and they go, how do people do this? How do people not look? It's so dangerous. Which is the other thing, it's the good thing about the other cliches, is they become good comedy things and you can play on them.
Yeah.
Any other action cliches you've got?
The
baddies always attack one by one.
Oh, I didn't even think of that one. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, there could be 10 of them around them, but yeah, always attack one by
They'll
one.
They'll take turns. Yeah. Particularly in martial arts movies.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, and the martial arts experts, so the baddies that are portrayed as the martial arts experts,
yeah,
the hero's always just as good as them.
Yes. But just
almost exclusive.
Just as good as them.
Yeah.
Never 10 times better.
Yeah.
Never 10 times worse. Just as good.
Yeah.
It's a final boss battle at Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's it,
exactly
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never get an even fight.
No. Nope.
It always ebbs and flows. It's always the bad. You always take the good. The hero always starts strongly, always gets the first punch yep. in, and you think, oh, this is going to be fine. Then the baddie gets a punch in and starts winning, and then the good, and then the hero wins.
Yeah. Almost to a killing blow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's always a clear winner at any point of the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because the other one I've put for that is, why do all bad guys have crap aim?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair, yeah.
So you've got a machine gun. Why are you firing? Why are you exclusively firing behind him?
Yeah, all these military experts. Yeah. Yeah.
And one guy can run through all of them. Yeah, and that's the other thing I put is one versus all.
Yeah.
And when they have fights, it's never like a proper fight. It's never two blokes on the floor rolling around trying to get slight punches in.
Rarely, isn't it? Very rarely.
Yeah. It's usually a very well choreographed, you punch, then I punch.
Yeah.
Then
duck, I punch. Punch,
yeah,
dive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw the trailer yesterday for the new John Wick, which is essentially all of these cliches put in one. which is what you want from the John Wick movies. That's the thing. The action cliches you don't mind about.
Yeah.
You're happy with them.
Exactly, yeah.
And then just linking with it, I've put car chases. All cars are indestructible.
Yep. Yep, that's fair. That's fair.
Way longer than they should last.
Except for the nondescript henchmen.
Yes.
Their cars are destructible.
And blow up.
Yeah.
And blow up for the smallest thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They're very flammable. Very flammable. And the keys are always to hand as well.
That's true.
You're never hunting around. Like, whenever I get into the car, even if I'm just going from the house to my car on the drive, I'll always go through my other four pockets before I find my keys.
Yeah. And I also know for a fact that if I was being chased by an army of bad guys and I had to get my car away as quickly as possible, I'd stall.
Yeah.
First thing I would do is stall that car. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Particularly if it's not my car. If it's not my car, then, you know, it's all right. That's about right. Yeah, go. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely, every single time.
Well, you turn on the car and the engine light starts flashing, or the petrol gauge. Like, you're running low on petrol, you've got 5 miles left. How am I going to have a high-speed city chase for half an hour on 5 miles of petrol?
I'm trying to indicate, and the window wipers are going mad.
where's the indicator? No, they don't need to indicate. You don't need to indicate.
That's right, because then also police cars only drive in straight lines. That's the other thing, that they drive in straight lines, and if one crashes, the others have an inability to stop and will only crash into other police cars.
Depending on the budget of the film. If the film's got a decent budget, they'll crash into them. If they haven't, they'll spin and just stop next to them.
And then policemen exclusively get out of their cars and, you know, shake their fist in anger.
Yeah.
And what are we going to do now? Just unbelievable.
That's another thing as well. Cars are bulletproof. So car doors... Yeah. People always take shelter behind car doors. It's really thin bits of metal.
Yeah, they are. They're really thin bits of metal. But you can break a car window really easily.
Absolutely,
with no damage to you or anyone inside the car.
Yeah.
That's easy to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, we could do car cliches forever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, cars get damaged, but they're never damaged enough to affect the steering a little bit. Like, the car pulls to the left constantly during a car chase. Yeah. Or the screen windscreen shattered in just a bit that you can't see, or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
The airbags never go off.
Never go off until the car stopped.
Yeah,
the car stops. The crash is finished, and then the airbag will go off. You're like, well, that's awful design. That's not what an airbag's for.
People never listen to the radio. The radio's never on when you first get in the car.
Exactly. When you turn it on, the radio's never on. Never on too... Like, it is all the time slightly too loud.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
Yeah.
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 That never happens either. Yeah. This is brilliant. There are so many for cars. It's ridiculous. A Mini will go exactly the same speed as a Ferrari if you need it to.
Yeah, yeah.
There would be no problem there whatsoever.
Forward or backwards?
Forward or backwards. Oh, backwards? backwards, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the car's never, like, when Jason Bourne is driving a Mini backwards through the streets of Paris, yeah, what it's not doing is going like it should be. Like, terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And handbrake turns are the easiest things to do in the world.
Yeah.
Just
anyone can do that.
Anyone can do a handbrake turn. And yeah, it is exclusively the way to get around corners.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's it. Other people on the road just aren't that bothered. They just carry on driving. Like, rather than pulling over to one side, they'll just carry on. I'm going to stay in this lane. You can work around me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mr. Bond.
Yeah. And cars only explode when they've stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't meant to go down the route of car cliches, but it clearly has. It's been brilliant. I think we've covered those. But then again, I would not get rid of any of those.
No,
because if you had a realistic car chase, it would be boring.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would,
or it'd be over in 10 seconds because the crash, because they're not stunt drivers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly it. They would crash. The streets are too busy, yeah, and it would be over in a second.
The hero would die from that stab wound to the liver.
That's another one as well. Yeah, yeah. No wounds can stop an action hero.
They always get hurt in the arm.
Yes,
always the arm, but they can still use the arm.
Or they get hurt in the side in a nondescript side wound.
Yeah,
that bleeds way more than it should do for these people running around as much as they are.
That's it. Yeah, I've lost a lot of blood.
A lot of blood. My white vest. Yeah, I wore white today. Never usually wear white. My white vest is sodden, and it also. They don't know they're hurt, or they don't know they're in real trouble, till a massive bloodstain emerges. Wow, oh, it started bleeding again. Oh, now it really hurts.
But it only hurts for a minute until they need to fight again, and then they're all right.
Yeah.
And then it hurts again after the fight, when they're recovering.
If a bad guy wants to do you injury, he will punch you exclusively in the wound. That's what I like as well.
That's it, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to put a thumb... Like, I'm a bad guy. I've got the hero there, and he's got a gunshot thing. The last thing I would do is put my thumb in there. That's disgusting.
Does this hurt?
Just, yeah, people going, I'm going to put my thumb in. It's like, I was teaching the other day, and I found blood on my desk, and I was freaked out until I realised I'd cut my finger. But it was like, this is clearly blood on my desk here.
Cut your finger punching that kid.
What is this? That did not happen. That did not flip. That didn't happen.
And then they'd always feel better, like, after the fight's finished and as the movie's wrapping up, they're sat in an ambulance with a bit of tinfoil around them, and that makes them feel better.
Tinfoil?
Yeah.
The tinfoil is incredible. Yeah, a bit of tinfoil around them. It's chaos all around them, but they're sat alone in an ambulance, and then the weather outside is frightful.
That's the prime movie example.
But it's exactly that. Yeah. Saving a city, world building will instantly repair your marriage.
Yes.
So that's always a good one. So you can't be mad at me. I almost died today. Yeah, you're right. Let's forget all the reasons I hate you. Come on. Let's go home. Let's go home and have sex. I don't think so. I was stabbed and shot and...
It's a PG.
And it's a PG. Yeah, that's fair. Okay then, so I think we've exhausted that. So you've got a quiz, and you said your quiz is cliche related.
It is. And in hindsight, Birmingham lost 3-1 to Norwich. In hindsight, we should have done these in a slightly different order, because my quiz is...
exclusively about horror cliches.
Brought by popular demand from the previous How Would You Assemble Your Avengers...
Oh, okay.
We're doing a How to Survive a Horror Movie Minefield multiple choice quiz. Can you survive a horror movie? Answer these questions. Answer the questions to these horror movie cliches, but one wrong choice and you're the killer's next victim.
Love it. Absolutely love it. We'll get through this. So I take it we're trying to avoid the cliche then.
Oh, there's a time limit. We've got a 10-minute time limit. That's good for many senses.
Very good for a lot of reasons.
There's 24 questions. Can you survive a horror movie? Answer the questions, these horror movie cliches, but one wrong choice and you're the killer's next victim.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're invited to a weekend of drinking and debauchery at a cabin in the woods near a lake with your college friends.
Yep, solid Saturday.
What do you do? Go away for the weekend?
Of course.
Stay home and study before your finals.
We're trying to avoid the killer.
Yes.
So we'll stay home and study for our
final. I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's allowing me through to the next question.
Okay, then, good.
Your friends want to take the rich kid's SUV up the cabin. What do you do? Decline and take your own vehicle, just in case. Or B, hop in. It'll be fun. All of us together. What could possibly go wrong?
The first one.
Yes. I'm going to take my own vehicle.
I'd rather take my Logan Dacia. Thank you. Dacia Logan. Why not?
On your way up, a dirty hitchhiker in tattered clothes, but still is an attractive man or woman, is on the side of the road. What do you do? Do you A, keep on going, you can't trust them. B, offer to pick them up, then drive away when they try to reach for the door, throw beer cans at them, because this is funny. C, they may need help, best pick them up. Or D, they're hot, offer them a ride and a beer.
I mean, I'm edging towards D, but I think
you've got to keep on
probably
going.
Be A.
Can't trust them.
Yeah, can't trust them.
Okay, good. Agreed. Right. So you decide to go anyway. Your friends stop off at a gas station, get even more beer. At the station are some locals. Your friends make fun of them. What do you... Joe. What do you do?
I was going to say exactly the same thing. Yeah, okay.
What do you do? A, join in on the fun and make fun of the locals.
No.
B, when a local looks at you, you act all disgusted and call them creepy loud enough for them to hear you.
You did a sassy sassy head jig when you said creepy. Creepy.
Or C, apologise to them profusely and publicly scold your friends for being rude.
Well, definitely three.
Definitely there. Okay. I think we're doing all right, sir.
I think we're doing all right, too.
Right. At the gas station, there are notices for many people who have gone missing. What do you do?
Not cats like there is around this neighbourhood.
A, point them out to your friends and suggest going somewhere else the weekend. Perhaps SeaWorld or home. B, write them off as decorations. Maybe they're made in...
write them off as decorations.
Maybe they're made in one of those old-timey photo booth things. Or C, ignore it. They must be old. Gosh, there seems to be a lot of them, though.
Well, A, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to point them out to my friends.
Try and convince them all to go to SeaWorld. Why not, eh?
Okay. Right. One of the creepiest locals warns you about heading up to the cabin. Some of your friends mock him. How do you respond? Ignore him. He's old, creepy, and obviously didn't go to college. B, thank him profusely. Jot down everything he said. Try to convince your friends to stay at a Motel 6 instead.
Yeah.
Or C, mock him with your friends. Picking on people is fun.
Picking on people is fun. I'm going to go B.
Yeah, thank him profusely.
I also like how this quiz keeps making you try to say the word profusely.
I like it. Yeah, there's some big words in this. Okay. So, hey, there's a creepy house cave over there. What should we do? Let's throw rocks and insults at it. Surely it can't be the home of some malevolent spirit. God, this is hard work after a couple of beers. Yeah, some spirit. Let's investigate and explore it, especially at night.
Yes.
Or C, walk on by. Best not to even look at it.
There you go, number three.
Let's do that. Okay. So, I need to read quicker. Someone in the group, the one without a girlfriend, brings his own private stash of drugs and offers you some.
Of course he does.
What do you do? Join in the fun. Who'll find out? We're alone in the woods. Or B, decline and point out that this is maybe why he's flying solo this weekend.
We're a bit of a social warrior. We'll go B, yeah.
Yeah, agreed. While hiking to the cabin, you stumble across some sort of burial ground or sacred site.
Of course you do.
What do you do? Avoid at all costs and pray to God that he will deliver you. Break out your Bible for added safety. Let's set up camp here. This will be fun. Let's run right through it, yelling and screaming.
I think we'll go A.
Or playfully recreate a sacrifice using some old, falling apart, evil-looking book that you just happened to find upon the ground.
Playfully. That's what I like about. Playfully. I think we'll go A, Dave.
Avoid at all costs. Yes. I agree. While with your friends, they offer you some alcohol.
Of course they do.
What do you do? Grab a funnel and kick this party off.
Yeah.
Politely decline and ask if anyone has some wholesome milk.
Wholesome milk.
Or C, knock down a few beers, or two, or three, or four.
I want to go C, but I think it's going to have to be B if we're going to survive.
I'm going to ask some wholesome milk.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend, girlfriend invites you to sneak off some hot action. What do you do?
I've got a boyfriend, girlfriend.
Ask someone else to join in with your fun. Don't forget the booze. Politely decline the offer, but say you're up some Yahtzee. Agree to go off with your significant other into the woods, abandoned cabin, cave, secluded cove, all by yourself.
I think I'm probably going to be playing some Yahtzee.
I agree. Yeah. I love Yahtzee.
I've never played Yahtzee.
Uh-oh. You have to go to the bathroom. What do you do? Hold it. It's not that bad. Go off to the bathroom, outhouse, by yourself. They're safe, right?
Yeah.
Well, C, sneak off by yourself to find a bush tree in the woods. What could possibly go wrong?
I'm going to go A.
Hold it.
Hold it.
Hold it. Okay, we're halfway through. Ooh, we've not got long left. During the campfire, someone tells a story about a group of people just like you on a night just like this and something terrible happens. How do you handle this? Laugh it off, chug a beer, flirt with the guys or girls. Get upset and walk off into the woods by yourself.
Yeah.
Say, I'm getting out of here and leave. Run to the car and drive away. Laugh it off, but deep down you're a little scared.
The one where I run away.
Yeah, run away. Yeah. We're so brave. Hey, there's a scary sound over there. What do you do?
We talked about this.
I'm not scared. I'll see what it is.
Yeah.
Let's check it out. Maybe it's helpful. Best to ignore it and keep on moving. It can't be anything good.
See?
Yep. Uh-oh, there's a killer on the loose.
Of course there is.
What do you do? Decide to run around the woods aimlessly at night while screaming. Find the biggest stick you can and fight the killer. Panic and stand there while the killer slowly lumbers towards you.
Yeah.
Go to the car and drive off.
Go to the car and drive off.
Absolutely. The killer chases you into the cabin. What do you do?
Okay.
Hide and don't make a sound and don't come out. Run to every locked door in the house, pulling on the doors while sobbing hysterically.
Yeah.
Fight back with a vase.
Yeah.
Make a lot of noise and run up the stairs with no chance of escape.
I don't even really like hide as an option either.
I'm all about the hiding.
Yeah,
I'm hiding.
I don't even really like that as an option.
Inside the cabin is a creepy looking VCR cassette tape that says, don't watch, covered in blood. Looks like there could be some Japanese writing on it too. What do you do? Don't watch it. Nothing good can ever come from Japan. Nothing good that is creepy ever came from Japan.
Okay, I'm glad you put that. I'm glad you added that bit in. Good. Okay, I was going to say that's a bit of a bold statement.
Or, that's what she said, wipe it off and pop it in.
Now, I'll be honest with you. This is the one option where if I see a tape saying don't watch it, I might wipe it off and pop it in. But I think for the sake of this and the film, and for the sake of this, we're going to not watch the tape.
Okay, we've got a minute and 30 left.
And how many questions have we got left?
I can't do the maths. Oh no, the lights have gone out. What do you do? Send a friend out one by one to check the fuse boxes. Stay quietly hidden where you are and wait for daylight to emerge. You go out alone to check the fuse boxes. Stumble around in the dark to find a way out of the dark house into the dark woods.
I guess I'm staying alone until daylight occurs.
I think so,
yeah. Still feels like a rubbish option.
Someone has knocked the killer down. What do you do next? Get the hell out of there, get into the car and drive off.
Yes.
Poke, shake, kick the killer.
Classic.
Stand over the killer, gloating about how easy that was. Of course, forgetting three of your friends are now dead. Flirt with the guys or girls, because now that it's over, it's time to party again.
That the second one about the forgetting your friends are dead is a good one as well. But we're going to run away.
Okay. Killer's not dead after all.
Shocker.
He chases the survivors out of the cabin. Where do you go? Down the road leading to town. Into the woods on a moonless night. Not sure where you're going, but making a ton of noise. Go to the car to get out of there.
Car to get out of there.
Agreed. Okay, 19 seconds. You guys decide to look for the killer. What do you do? Stay together in a group. Split up and cover more ground.
Stay together.
Exactly. Here comes a cop. You're covered in blood. He wants to know what's happening. How do you handle this? Get into the cop's car, ask him to drive, tell him the story on the way and ask for more. Oh, we're finished. Oh, ran out of time.
Good. Does that mean we're dead?
So, we got 88% and the average score is 73%. So we did pretty well there.
How are people doing badly on that?
Don't know.
How are people not getting 100? Unless the time limit is meant to be...
I think
restricted.
I think so, yeah.
Because you weren't speaking slow there.
No, we got to question 21 out of 24.
That's not bad going.
So yeah, that one was I've still got that question. We can finish it off if you want.
Yeah, go for it. We'll finish off anyway.
Okay, four more questions. So here comes cop. You're covered in blood. He wants to know what's happening. How do you handle this? You get into cop's car, ask him to drive, tell him the story along the way.
Clearly that one.
Explain the blood is not yours and it's not because of the big knife in your hand. The cop will understand. While crying uncontrollably, tell the cop there is a killer, all the while saying, you aren't crazy, but yes, you have been drinking.
These are great. I really like these.
Oh, no, it won't let me carry on.
Oh, gutted. I do like the idea that you forget your friends are dead. I think I forget that one from the horror cliches, forgetting your friends are dead.
Yeah. Good. So, yeah, I think we survived that. We did pretty well. Above average.
That's almost how you can always describe me.
That's one of the main reviews in our podcast, isn't it?
Above average. That's true.
Just, yeah.
So I think if we're going to keep looking at cliches, there's cliches that don't fit into any one movie category. They're just generic movie cliches that drive me crazy.
Yeah.
The one when I had to describe this to you, and it's the one that always makes me cringe, is the one where a hacker or anyone is using a computer and doesn't use a mouse.
Yeah.
It's mental. It's just a guy who can type really, really quick.
Yeah.
And then everything seems to go exactly as it does and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because using a mouse looks boring.
Yeah.
And typing looks really quick and cool.
Yeah.
But it just we live in such a technological age that it's crazy that people don't use a mouse.
Yeah.
It's mental.
Yeah.
So that was one that I told you. Another one that I was thinking about as well, which was in Bone Collector. So even in the late 90s, this was driving me crazy. You know when there's a piece of evidence on the floor and it... So Denzel Washington sat in his bed.
Mm-hmm.
He's completely bed-bound. All he can use is he can move his head and he can move one finger on his mouse and scroll across everything.
Both doing finger actions now.
Yep, we are both doing finger actions. And the killer left a tiny piece of paper on the crime scene. Denzel notices it out the corner of the picture. So what he does is he gets the camera to zoom in. Every time the camera zooms in, the resolution is perfectly clear with every new zoom. And I'm thinking, I have an iPhone 8. It's a pretty good camera.
Yeah.
Mine doesn't even, that doesn't even do that. I don't know any camera that zooms in that well, that every single time it zooms in, it's not pixelated, it's going to do the job for you, to the point we can go, I can see that that's the number 25 on the bottom corner of that page. That one drives me crazy, where it's just every zoom, and it's like, or CCTV.
Yeah.
They go, just zoom in on the CCTV, we can absolutely see the face of the guy. There we go, it's sorted.
It doesn't even need to be technology. It could be the person's eyes. Like, you see something in the background, it's like so far in the distance, and it zooms in, they squint a bit, and it's like, oh, it's clear now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that one, that's one that's absolutely drives me crazy. It's just generic movie tropes, movie things that... I mean, because I'm a teacher, the school stuff was crazy for it. The one that I didn't mention about schools as well is... a lecturer or a teacher will only get to the main point of their lesson at the very end. The bell will go, all the kids will stand up and leave, and that's when he shouts the homework.
Yeah.
Remember to read page 23? Like, if I was that kid, I'd go, didn't hear him, I'm off, see you later.
And they all do that because none of them ever do the homework.
No.
Apart from the one kid that always does the homework.
Always does the homework.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they're always openly bored in a lesson.
Yeah.
And I don't know, in our country, in Britain, we don't have individual desks for the students. But that must be an American thing.
Yeah, it must be.
So the desks I have in my classroom are double desks. So kids sit next to each other and it's just a table.
Yeah, we have generally that as well. Yeah.
We don't have...
It's only exams we have individual desks.
Yeah, it's the same as we do. Only exams we have individual desks. So it's a bit of a... But that might just be that is actual... high school in America.
Maybe.
So, and the last one I've got on this little deviation is...
Your deviation.
It doesn't matter. I didn't know what I was going with deviation. It doesn't matter what job you do. You can break major rules, but as long as the outcome is positive, you'll keep your job.
Absolutely.
And I've put in brackets detective/journalist.
Yeah, journalist is what I had in my head, yeah. Yeah.
It's like you can't do that, it's against the law. I've told you specifically that you are going to be covering the beauty pageant, but I want to cover the murder. Oh, I've solved the murder. Oh, yay.
They'll get suspended before they solve it. They'll be near to solving it and then get suspended.
That is true, they will get suspended.
But ignore it.
But they will do it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or detective's the worst for it. Yeah. Like, you've destroyed half the city, but I caught the killer. Well, then you're fine. Well, no, he's not, is he? People died. Yeah, yeah.
You're still fired. You're not paying that mortgage.
No, you're still fired. Yeah, exactly. But I'm all right, aren't I? No, there were easier ways to catch the killer.
Yeah.
There's other people here catching killers every day. They didn't destroy the city. What? You're not fine. It is. That's it. It's just break the rules equals keep job.
I think you need some of these, though. I mean, like, just to help move plots along.
You do.
Because, like, otherwise you'd spend so long going into all the details about how it's really depressing that they've lost their job, or that, like,
yeah,
crap, how am I going to feed my family that you've seen in one scene? Oh no.
Yeah, that hate me as a father because I'm never here.
Yeah, where's the fun if the action star gets killed in the first scene? Oh, there's 30 baddies. Oh, he's dead. That's it.
I was doing the paperwork for the car wreck that he had.
Yeah.
Doing all that stuff. Yeah, absolutely. It, yeah, I would go out and catch the killer, but I've got to fill out Form 22B. No, they are necessary. They are necessary. And it's. I mean, we were going to talk about the cliches that are necessary and the cliches that we'd easily get rid of.
Yeah.
And I think we were going to look through all the cliches that between us, the two of us had,
yeah,
and then think about the one that we'd want to get rid of and want to remove.
Yeah.
I mean, I know mine straight off. I don't know about yours, if you know what yours is. I'll give you some time to think about it. I'm going to finish off with my quiz. Now, my quiz is a bit random because it's not cliche related, but it's one that I've wanted to do for a little while because I think it's quite funny.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Famously, there is a, and I don't know if it's real or not, and there'll be people that go, no, it clearly wasn't real, but there's a TV guide, America's like number one version of our Radio Times TV guide. The guy who did the movie, the guy in charge of the movies, in charge of the movie descriptions, there's the famous Wizard of Oz one. Have you heard of the Wizard of Oz movie description? So he writes underneath Wizard of Oz where it should say, a young girl gets transported to a magical world where she meets three characters and, you know, meets the wizard.
Okay.
It says, a young girl travels to a magical world, kills on arrival, and then teams up with three other people to kill again. And it has Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I quite like this because it's essentially alternative movie synopsis.
Okay.
I want you to guess the film. That's all I want you to do.
Okay.
Okay. Awesome. I'm going to give the alternative movie synopsis and I want you to guess which film it is.
Love it.
Some of these are dead easy. They're funny. They're meant to be funny. That's what it is. And it's usually a hashtag on Twitter, explain a film plot badly.
Yeah.
So a lot of these have come from that.
Okay.
So the first one, a boy, and none of these are too difficult either. A boy befriends a bearded hermit and two gay robots, goes into space, snogs his sister and kills his dad.
Star Wars.
It is Star Wars.
Yeah.
So that's all it's going to be. Bloke punches himself, encourages other to punch him, leaves his job, shaves his head, is a bad influence on Meatloaf.
That's got me the bad influence.
Is a bad influence on Meatloaf. So bloke punches himself, encourages others to punch him, leaves his job, shaves his head, and is a bad influence on Meatloaf.
I'd still go and watch that film. Fight Club.
It's Fight Club. Absolutely, it's Fight Club. The bad influence on Meatloaf got me.
They could have done that synopsis and still done as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Reclusive weirdo and his mutant employees lure children into his factory with sweets and then disposes of them one by one.
Willy Wonka.
Absolutely. Or Charlie the Chocolate Factory, or Willy Wonka the Chocolate Factory, whichever one you want to go with.
Say that one again, I like that one.
So it's, don't not scroll.
Ah, oh, never mind.
Okay, I think I will come back to it.
Half fish, half woman, sells vocal cords to kiss a random bloke.
Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid. I'm going to go back up to Fight Club one now because it's working. Reclusive weirdo and his mutant employees lure children into his factory with sweets and then disposes of them one by one.
I like that.
It's good. It's good. So that one's click to reveal or just don't. Yeah, Little Mermaid. Okay, next one. Man buys a singing rabbit from Chinatown. Rabbit gets wet and breeds lizards. Lizards destroy town.
Gremlins.
Gremlins. Singing rabbit.
I like these.
They're clever. Right. A very old-looking teenage girl wears hot pants and learns to smoke to win her boyfriend back. Then they sing.
High School Musical?
It's not High School Musical. Though it is... Grease. It is Grease. Yeah, it is Grease.
Grease, of course it is. Yeah, she was an old-looking schoolgirl.
She was a really old-looking schoolgirl. Me things.
In fairness, John Travolta's not a young-looking schoolboy.
No, he's not. No, he's absolutely not. Come on, keep going with this. I'm relying on a very old bit of technology here. Right, okay. Hamlet with lions, but better than Hamlet. Also singing.
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was Gladiator.
Hamlet with lions.
Hamlet with lions.
But better than Hamlet. This might be a moment where I give you the answer and you don't realise that the story's Hamlet.
Lion King.
Lion King.
Okay.
Lion King is essentially Hamlet. So, yeah.
Never seen Hamlet. Or read it.
Innocent staff turned
book first.
Innocent staff turned into teapot, clock and candlestick, rely on Stockholm Syndrome to save themselves and loved ones.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think I know this one. Okay. I don't think I know this one. Russian sailor who dreams of polygamous freedom in America dies on a submarine.
Hunt Red October.
It says click to reveal title. Oh, it is the Hunt for Red October. Yeah. I didn't know that one.
Yeah, that's the one where Sean Connery is Russian, but doesn't change his accent, so he's just Scottish all the way through.
Classic.
Shitting on the submarine.
Oh, stop it. Seriously, we've got to stop bringing Sean Connery up.
Pavel.
Right, I'm going to keep doing these. Patrick Stewart sets up a school for dangerous adolescents when none of the staff have any teaching qualifications.
X-Men.
He's X-Men.
Yeah. Just Patrick Stewart. Just Patrick Stewart.
Yeah. Old man with balloons abducts a young boy after his wife leaves him. There's a dog involved.
Up.
A large iceberg's peaceful, calm life comes to an abrupt end as the largest ship collides with it. That was a bit crap, but that one's clearly Titanic. Come on. Didn't get that one. There is one I was hoping to get to, but I can't seem to get to it. There is one where it just goes snakes on a plane. Right, we'll do whatever this last one is here. Oh, come on.
Snakes on a Plane was a good film for cliches.
Yeah, that one. That was just openly, cliches. That was openly cliches, yeah. Wasn't it? So. Oh, this has failed. Okay. I'm determined to do one more because I feel like I don't just want to end it on like a nothingy.
And for those of you playing podcast bingo, you might be able to hear Ben jabbing his keyboard.
Away at the keyboard, yeah. In the background. Yeah.
Drink. God, this would be a depressing drinking game to listen to, wouldn't it? You imagine listening to our podcast as a drinking game.
What things would you have as part of our podcast as a drinking game? Would it be our podcast bingo?
Just doing the podcast as a drinking game for us.
All right, last one. Captain America says there's only one God, hangs out with two gods the whole movie.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. And the last one. A couple of tiny little brokes take three long films to return a piece of unwanted jewellery. And we will leave it there. Okay then. All right, so.
Good. That was good.
Well, it was good. Yeah, it was, I quite like those. So we are going to finish with a poll. The poll is, which cliche would you want to remove from all movies? And the cliche I'm picking is, hackers don't use mouse. Mouses. Mice.
Mouses.
Mouses.
Mouses. Didn't he write the commandments?
Yeah. Famously wrote the commandments, Mouses. I've only had two beers. Can you believe this? I've had two beers. I'm a little bit exhausted and stuff. What's yours you're having?
I'm going to go with...
This is why you have to prep for a podcast.
Yeah, I didn't do a lot, I'll be honest. I'm going to go with, it's always bad weather in horror films.
All right, then. We'll go with always bad weather in horror films.
That'll do me.
Okay, then. So, hackers don't use... I've put mouses. Mouses.
Mouses.
Mouses.
Mouses. Mouses.
The plural. The plural.
Grab that stone.
The plural of...
Go on.
The plural of, like, two computer...
Mice.
Are they mice? They're
mice.
Shouldn't be called mice anyway. Stupid. Right, okay. So, vote. That will be going up on Sunday, as well as this podcast.
And so, because it's Series 3, we need... What happens with the vote of the result of the poll?
Are we doing monologues still?
Oh, I don't know.
Are we going back
to monologues? Have you got an alternative?
I don't know. I don't know if there is an alternative. Maybe it's something...
Okay, well, there's a forfeit.
There will be a forfeit. We'll have to do something.
Okay.
Podcast-related, audio-related.
Okay.
Ready for the next one, depending on... That's it. So whoever loses, the other one
does
picks
a
forfeit.
Yeah.
That's exactly... Okay. So we'll work it out. So, yeah, vote on the poll and then get involved. So we've listed a ridiculous amount of movie cliches today. But let us know which cliches you've come up with. Let us know which cliches you love. Let us know which cliches you hate. Which cliches you could do without.
What?
Which cliches you could do with. And now I've said the word so much, it has no meaning anymore. So get involved at Views from Sofa on Twitter. Views from Sofa on Facebook.
Oh my God.
And I'm so tired. I'm so tired.
Just search for it.
Just search
Google
Views
it.
From the Sofa.
Oh my God.
And rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to get in touch with Dave, and I don't know why you would, but if you want to get in touch with Dave, it's at IconDII.
Yeah.
All right. Until next time, have a good one.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.